Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Henry Iverson. He is the Chief Commercial Officer of Boost AI. Hi, Henry. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Salman. Thank you for having me. I'm doing pretty good considering the times we are in. It's pretty cold where I'm from in the Nordics. So it's below freezing point here. So not that good, but still business is thriving. So that's at least a good thing.
Sorry, where exactly are you located?
So I'm actually located in Stavanger in Norway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have some beautiful fjords and nature and everything. So it's a definitely beautiful place. So I would definitely recommend everyone to visit here sometime if you have the opportunity.
I think this is the first time I'm interviewing somebody from Norway, so that's a first. Happy New Year, and thank you for taking the time to be on the show. And I want to start by talking about your background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Yeah, sure. So kind of my background is, I would say, economics. So my kind of my background and degree is kind of mastering in innovation and strategic management. So that's kind of doing different stuff. So obviously, kind of being aboard at the startup 4 years ago, I had kind of the different skill sets, which means I kind of been doing different stuff in the company. So from the early days, you kind of need to do everything. As you probably know, you are kind of, you have limited resources. You don't have any kind of possibility to get a lot of people in. So you kind of need to do everything from customer success management. You need to do sales. You need to do economics and accounting and everything. Been kind of focusing more on the, I would say, the sales side of it, but also kind of working with the strategic partnerships. So we kind of partner up with Accenture, Deloitte, and also kind of smaller consulting companies, which kind of focus on either conversational AI, RPA, robot process automation, or kind of other AI technologies. So I've kind of been working on developing those, both in Europe, but also in the US, where we have an office. So my kind of background is I love technology and I love what I do, especially kind of through the COVID, there's been a kind of a big need of our technology. So it's kind of been, considering the time, been very interesting to kind of see how people can leverage the technology.
Mm-hmm. So I want to learn more about Boost AI. What is Boost AI? How the idea came about, and what specific products and solutions you offer?
So kind of when we started like the company 4 years ago, we saw early on that there's a need of, I would say, automating and enhancing customer interactions. So basically being able to respond to your customers, maybe employees at the scale. People are kind of getting more digital. People are kind of using their mobile more in order to kind of communicate with organizations, either it's kind of banking, banks, insurance companies, or but also the public sector. What we kind of saw 4 years ago is that, I would say, like the state of the technology at that time were not that impressive, to be honest. So a lot of the kind of the chatbots, which is kind of more like a manifest of our technology and how we can use technology, were not really at the state where we thought it was good enough. And I'm pretty sure most people listening in are probably had a bad chatbot experience at some time. So we kind of definitely saw there was kind of a need in the market to bring something better, and just basically being able to understand the customer had a much, much higher level. And of course, when you start a company and you have nothing, like when we started a company, the only thing we had is basically a client. So in this case, it was a bank. It was a regional bank. They needed the technology because they want to automate some of their online interactions. And they were already talking to some of the big players in the market. It's a crowded market space with conversational AI and chatbots and so on. So they were already talking to some established player from the US, I think. And of course, when you start a company, since you don't have the luxury to be best at everything from day one, you kind of need to figure out one thing you can do better than the competition. And for us, that would be the language understanding. So we kind of made sure that our technology were able to understand the customer, be able to understand the context they were in, and so on. So that was kind of our biggest selling point from day one. So we started with the bank. From there, we quickly saw that, okay, understanding the customer is kind of the first part of it. But then obviously we also need to make sure that we are working in a highly regulated environment, like the banks are, making sure that all the kind of data is protected in the best possible way, but also making sure that the interface where you kind of train the chatbot can be handled by customer service reps. So that's kind of where we started, with having the best language understanding, but also make sure it's simple for the customer to kind of build on. And from there, we kind of started kind of just taking all the banks in the Nordics. We also kind of went into insurance, but also the public sector. That those are kind of the most important verticals from our side. The benefit with AI is that when you get the first client up and running, we can typically utilize and reuse a lot of the data. So that means that like bank number five will of course get value of the four banks coming into the solution before them. So then obviously we had like a competitive advantage in the market. So from there, we basically went into the US market. We work a lot with credit unions in the US and also other areas like, I would say, software industry, e-commerce is also kind of coming up as strong verticals, especially in the US. So in essence, what we do is basically taking either customer or employee interactions and automate them and make sure that they are better and faster and also, of course, more cost efficient.
Mm-hmm. So the chatbots that you provide, they leverage the technology of conversational AI. And I want to talk more about that and learn about that. Can you explain what is conversational AI and how it works?
So good question. So I would say like conversational AI is the technology kind of fueling the chatbot, because kind of chatbot is I would say that the manifest and use case of the conversational AI. So a chat will be kind of something you can chat with. Obviously, with conversational AI, you can also be able to handle voice use cases. So you can handle conversation through voice. You probably all saw the duplex from Google, where you kind of call up the restaurant or kind of do bookings and so on. So that will kind of be the same underlying technology. So either you kind of communicate for text, communicate for voice, that would be kind of the same technology. And conversational AI is, I would say, it's not kind of new technology in that sense. There's kind of been around, chatbots have been around for like 40, 50 years. That's actually, I think it was in the 60s, like there was some really smart people decided like, hey, this summer we're going to make a chatbot or a bot so smart that there would be no way for a human to kind of be understand it's the bot they're talking to. Obviously that didn't happen. So what we kind of seeing as kind of the next generation chatbot is now of course utilizing cloud services, which has kind of been a key factor in order to kind of roll out this technology and utilize it, but also the use of neural networks. So of course, really advanced conversational AI should kind of utilize neural networks in order to kind of be scalable and actually be able to understand the customer, both their question, but also kind of the sentiment and mood they are in. And then if you kind of really want to go into the details here, there's obviously a lot of details in conversational AI. And kind of if I type in a question, the first thing we probably would kind of do is kind of look at misspellings. We probably look at kind of cleaning up the sentence, and then the sentence would be kind of sent into the different neural networks, and the neural networks will kind of come back with a prediction based on different things. And then it will kind of find the appropriate response either through a pre-scripted response or something dynamic on the back end. That's kind of the essence on how conversational AI is working.
Mm-hmm. And recently you wrote about trends in conversational AI. So can you talk about those trends?
Yeah. So what we have seen, as I mentioned, like through COVID-19, I think early in last year, a lot of people were talking about chatbots, people are kind of starting doing projects. And I think some of the bigger organizations definitely had some projects up and running. Still, it was kind of almost like a nice to have technology at that time, especially at some parts of the world. But what we have seen, especially through COVID, is kind of like now people really saw that they didn't have scalable customer service. And in a lot of the cases, the traffic just went through the roof. So organizations we talked to and work with kind of got 10x the traffic just over the night. And handling that with humans is almost impossible. So we definitely saw a lot of new projects coming up last year. And we're also seeing now where kind of things are not exactly going back to normal, because that would probably take a few months more. But we're definitely seeing people now are kind of making sure that they have scalable customer service in the future. So I think that just accelerated everything by a few years, in my opinion. And also, I think that's kind of another kind of key part there, is that the expectation for the technology is also kind of been obviously high. If you kind of see the Gartner hype cycle, you can see like it's kind of sometimes you kind of peak the expectation, the inflated expectation, and then you kind of go down, and then obviously at some point you kind of want to see the value out of it. And I think that's kind of another trend this year, is that people and organizations will require to see value of the technology. They want to see return on investment. I think that's a kind of another trend in general in our space through COVID, is that there is much higher requirements regarding getting a return on investment when they buy software. So that's a key thing. So I think all software which doesn't have like a solid return on investment will obviously struggle a bit in the coming time. That also means that they will simple kind of look at how much you're able to risk kind of being able to automate, which is kind of the key factor. So typical when we go into a project, we want to make sure that we are able to automate as much as possible, because a customer interaction could cost maybe like $5. And then obviously the more we can automate out of those interactions, the more we will save for the customer. And that's kind of what we're seeing as a trend for this year, that people will, at the bigger extent, kind of look at the return on investment, that business case, but also compare the technology available in the market to see who's kind of doing the best job. And there's big differences in our space. You have solution maybe automating 5%, then you have solution like ours handling maybe 90% of the customer interaction. So there's kind of a huge difference in between there.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the different companies which are using your chatbots and how they're using it? If you can share mm-hmm. some examples.
Yeah, sure. So that's a good question. So I think like what we saw early on is that the financial services with the banks and credit unions and insurance companies were, I would say, pretty early with this technology. In many ways, kind of a first mover, start experimenting with the technology early on. And I think kind of the use case they saw from day one is just that they want to, I would say, automate the simple request. So that would kind of be typical the first part of the project, to make sure that you are able to handle simple question regarding your account balance. It could be blocking and ordering credit cards and these type of question, which they typically get a high volume out of. So that would kind of be the first stage. And then kind of what they are doing in the next stage is make sure that the chatbot has transactional capabilities. So actually being able to fulfill the whole process within the chat window. So you don't need to leave the chat window. You can do everything through the chat window. And I think those kind of use cases kind of are interesting. But I can say if we kind of go into the next generation use case for especially with banks, we're kind of looking to authorize the bot as a financial advisor. So that's actually in Europe now. They're actually coming up with an authorization scheme where we can actually authorize the bot to do the same job as a human advisor would do in order to give people economic advice and so on, which obviously requires a different skill set than just giving simple responses to the account balance and so on. So there's definitely been a staggering development within that industry, and I think the benefit for the financial services that they started quite early. Another industry which I think is very interesting is the public sector. Obviously, through COVID, there's been a ton of traffic for them. And I think those are probably the ones experience most traffic through COVID. Obviously, people need to get answers in times of uncertainty. And obviously, they needed to get answers not only on a monthly basis, but maybe on a weekly or daily basis even, because like all information was changing so fast. And what we are seeing as kind of the next, say, wave within our technology is obviously e-commerce. It's definitely coming up as a hot vertical for us, where we're able to help people online. There is definitely more sales online now. So now you have the possibility to kind of, at an even bigger extent, to not only answer simple incoming questions, but also be more proactive and kind of do sales. So that's kind of, I would say, an interesting use case as well, being able to communicate, capture people when they are on the site and make sure that you can convert them into a sale. That's something I would say most company, e-commerce especially, want to have in place. And kind of the company we talk about here is like Michigan State University Federal Credit Union is kind of one of the ones we work with. We have kind of worked with Cratrim within e-commerce. So that's kind of a big range of different clients we work with.
Mm-hmm. How do you promote your particular company, and how do you create awareness about your product and the benefits that it can bring to clients?
Mm-hmm. So kind of obviously we're kind of doing the usual stuff by having, a few outbound campaign running and everything. I think kind of what we've been kind of focused most on is to make sure that we have case studies. So we kind of, I would say, since we have a lot of happy clients, we make sure that kind of translates into a case study. So we definitely see that organizations and customers, they want to see what their peers are doing. So they want to see what kind of other organizations are doing it within their space. So just sharing the success story has kind of been a very important way for us to kind of tell the story about Boozt. We also, we have a direct sale channel as well. But I would say most of our sales is coming from the partner channel. So I mentioned like Accenture, Deloitte and Capgemini and these guys, but also a lot of kind of, smaller and more focused automation consulting companies also work with us. But they also kind of make sure they are usually a part of the discussion with the C-level people, with the people we, a lot of organization we target. So that would kind of be also a way for us to go into different markets, finding partners within that specific area or vertical, and then obviously work with them in addition to share all the stuff we have on the case studies.
In the last 12 months, did you experience any particular growth in demand or decline in demand? Was there any particular impact on your business because of recent events?
So we definitely grown. So we have grown a lot in the last year. So say COVID maybe slowed us down a couple of months, but then we kind of picked up the pace and we are on a good growth path now. So we kind of went through the milestone 10 million annual recurrent revenue US dollar last year. So we are growing pretty good. And then we're definitely not seeing any signs of that slowing down this year.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to quantify how much cost savings and efficiency a business can gain by employing your product?
Yes, definitely. So obviously it depends a little bit on the volume. I think we had like one case here back in Europe that was within public sector, where we kind of did the same work as 220 FTEs, so kind of replacing 220 people. So that's kind of definitely on the high level. I would say like in general, we are able to automate, I would say around 80% of the customer interactions. So obviously it would depend a lot on the volume. But I would definitely say the cost savings with, I would say, mid-sized bank should definitely be in the million range.
Well, that's amazing. Any exciting plans for the next 12 months?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of stuff going on now. So we kind of on one direction, we're kind of looking at voice as an interesting space to be in. Obviously, we are very bullish on kind of the voice interface. Voice is interesting because it's a very simplistic interface. You don't have any keyboard you need to type in anything. You just talk to the machine, and the machine should be able to understand you and then interact accordingly to what you need help with. So we are doing, I would say, many voice projects right now. And what we also see, and especially in the US, I would say a lot of the organization we talk to have typical, like, I would say, pretty high volume on voice channel. So typical through the phone. So then, of course, we want to make sure we can kind of go into that area as well, and help them automate those interactions as well. So that's kind of one part of it. We also make sure it's much easier to kind of get up and running. I think some of the things we're kind of seeing as I would say additional trend is that people don't have time to wait to see if it's working. They don't have time to see the return on investment, so they want to make sure that they can get value from day one. So we have something called a Boost Automator. So the Boost Automator basically allows us to reuse the data the customer have available. Could be they have maybe some chat logs, maybe we can go through the web page, maybe they have some PDFs or knowledge bases we can utilize. So that's kind of the starting point of the project, to make sure that we can reuse the data of the customer and then kind of use that as input in order to build an advanced chatbot for them. Just make it much simpler for them to get up and running, but at least not. Also make sure that it's easy for them to try and test out the technology before they commit to buy it. So that's kind of what we've been working a lot with, to make sure that we can not only talk about how amazing the technology, but also show how amazing the technology is. There's a lot of, as I mentioned, there's a lot of vendors in the market space, place. And for us, it's been kind of important from day one just to prove that we are the better alternative than just saying that we are the better alternative. So it's kind of more like showing instead of telling.
Well, that's incredible. You're definitely onto something. You're helping companies leverage AI to reduce costs and increase efficiency. And that is definitely something amazing. And hopefully, you will have some more success in the time to come. Henry, it has been very nice speaking with you, learning about Boost AI and conversational AI. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You want to share your website? How can people find you?
So if you go into boost.ai, you will find a lot of interesting information about us and the company. So please visit Boost AI.
Perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this particular episode and you get a chance to learn about Boost AI and conversational AI and how it can create efficiencies and cost savings. And as Henry mentioned, you can visit the website boost.ai to learn more about his chatbot solution. And thank you so much for listening to Soundcast, and stay tuned for more episodes.